professionally trained service dogs to assist those suffering from a debilitating injury or illness. Our goal is to use rescue dogs at every opportunity, thus saving two lives at once. Our veterans don't have to take on any financial burden when they're partnered with one of our service dogs. Won't you join us in helping to save our veterans? Learn more at dogsforourbrave.com.
Tim McKernan here for Design Air Heating and Cooling. During winter months, furnace heat can cause your home to be drier than the Sahara Desert. Low humidity can cause painful dry skin, itchy eyes, and sore throats. And dry air can warp and crack the woodwork and hardwood floors in your home and give you those annoying static shocks. I had Design Air install a humidifier in my home this winter and already noticed an improvement. Contact Design Air, the official HVAC provider of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, to find out more about adding a humidifier to your home.
Get remarkable results when you partner with licensed or certified estheticians who ensure advanced skincare treatments. Support your skincare routine because healthy skin needs healthy skincare. See franchise locations or visit massageenvy.com.
A great moment in baseball presented by Byerly RV.
The year was 1990. Young right fielder played with the team for just 2 years. His fielding skills were exceptional. His passion for the game made him a clutch player. The game was on the line. Just put the ball into play, yelled the coach. As usual, he took the first pitch, then the second. He cracked the third in the right center, and it rolled. The batter sprinted around the bases. He crossed home plate at full speed, ran through the crowd of cheering teammates, jumped over the bench, and with watery eyes, the 9-year-old flew into his father's arms. Dad, Dad, a home run. My first home run.
For the rest of your life.
Byerly, just 15 minutes west of I-270 on I-44 in Eureka.
Want to win tickets to see your champion St. Louis Blues defend their title? Join the party during Ticket Tuesday at the 10 St. Louis area Hotshots Sports Bar and Grill locations this season and take your shot at a chance to win. Score the hottest tickets during every Tuesday Blues game this year at Hotshots during Ticket Tuesday while you enjoy great specials and the best Blues environment in town. Find a Hotshots location near you at HotshotsNet.com. Hotshots is a proud partner of the St. Louis Blues and home of Blues fans since 1990.
This is Mariah from Newsetter's Fine Jewelry, where we offer a choice in diamonds. Mine are lab-grown. We are a leader in offering lab-grown diamonds, which can run 30 to 40% less than mine diamonds. Let us educate you on your options at Big Ben and Doherty Ferry, or learn more at wowdiamonds.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave
your
worries.
You forgot your hat.
On the doorstep.
You don't really need your coat. Yeah.
Just direct your feet.
Now you're ready.
To the sunny side of the street. Can you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rays.
Get out of the shade. Step out into the sunlight.
This rover.
Ask me about my wiener.
Crossed over. If I never have a cent.
That's from the movie Accepted. That is Jonah Hill.
Was that Jim Hewer?
Go hey, don't make fun of Jim. He's cool.
Jonah Hill is one of those guys, though. I just don't like him. I've seen him do some good work. He was in the baseball movie with Brad Pitt. What the heck was the name?
Moneyball.
Of that thing? Yeah,
Wolf of Wall Street.
And I've seen him do some, but I just don't like him. I don't know.
I talked to him before. He likes you.
Does he?
Yeah,
well, that's good. Now I feel bad.
Did you ever see Superbad, Frank?
No, I don't think I would ever. That was a very good movie.
Let me tell you, Frank, with your juvenile, extreme juvenile sense, you would love it.
Oh yeah.
You would love it.
Yeah, Let me tell you why.
Here's what I do love, and you have to really have a juvenile scene. I love Ted with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
That movie is, if it's as funny as that or close, then
Well, there's a scene in Superbad where Jonah Hill crashes a party, and he's kind of hanging out with the dorky crowd at school, right? He's not really with the in crowd, and him and all of his dork friends crash this party. and he starts dancing.
He and all his sword friends crashed.
Correct. Thank you for correcting me, as usual. He and all
no,
of his...
No, not as usual, just on occasion.
No, as usual when I'm wrong. And he's dancing with this girl, and she... Martha Monthly is in town. And he's real slow dancing with her, and her boyfriend comes in, and he backs off from him, and he realizes that it's come through her dress, and it's all over his pants. And he tries to explain, and it's just... And you know another dork in the show gets a fake ID made, and he uses one name on it, and the name is McLovin. That's his name on the fake ID.
This is where I think we need to hear from a special message from one of our sponsors, Cherokee Hair Tampons. May I?
This would be, you know, in their instructions to us. I'll read them. It's the instructions sent directly to 590 from the world headquarters of Cherokee Hair Tampons, to whom it may concern. We will not be running a traditional schedule where the commercials are, you know, basically what it says is predetermined as to what the time slot will be. What we would like for you to do at your station is when you see an opportunity based on a story in the news or subject matter being discussed, whenever there's an opportunity, would you please insert one of the commercials for our fine products, and then just send us a, you know, confirmation of when it ran and bill us accordingly. And Limey, you couldn't be more right. Now is one of those moments.
All right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, a quick word from one of our great sponsors, Cherokee Hair Tampons.
Mom, do you ever have those heavy flow days?
Oh, absolutely, sweetheart. Everybody does.
Mom, remember the movie The Shining where the elevator doors are opening up and all?
Honey, what you need is a more absorbent tampon.
Like what?
Well, what's the most absorbent thing in the world?
Oh, Cherokee hair, I guess. But what does that have to do with me?
Because now there's new all-natural Cherokee hair tampons. A cotton tampon can only hold so much liquid. Other tampons also come up short. But Cherokee hair has been known for ages to be strong and powerful. Each tampon is hand-woven from over 200 strands of Cherokee hair and then bound together by these decorative native beads.
You were right, Mom. All-natural Cherokee hair tampons really did the trick.
And when you're done using them, they make a great toy for Jesse. Go get it, boy.
Let the wonders and the mysteries of our people, like, change the way you think about tampons.
Now, I cannot hear that, Dan. I have to share with them. I've only been called out in my entire radio career, like, six times for something that whoever at the time was the general manager, they just thought, okay, you know what, that's it. Come to my office, see me, or they call me. And one of those times was over a comment about something in that commercial. A few years ago, there was a legitimate article. It was one of these Ask the Vet things, and it was in a publication. And the person writing said, you know, dear Dr. Vetter, we'll just call him, our dog loves to get in the trash and retrieve and play with used tampons. Should we be concerned? And the answer was, no. It's one of a dog's, many dogs' favorite things to play with. So I just read the article. I mean, that's all. I didn't elaborate. I didn't get graphic. Oh, my. You'd have thought that I said F-U-F-N-F-er 100 times. I mean, it was like the end of the world when I got the call. And I think what it was about more than anything else was the boss probably was in the car with his wife who bosses him. And she, are you going to let that happen? Are you going to let him talk about that on the air? It was a news story. It was a legitimate story, but whoo, man. Every time I hear it, that's what I think of. It was that call that I got. And I probably could have handled my response better, but handled it the way I typically handle it, with these words. I'm not doing the show for you or your wife. I do the show for listeners who enjoy it and have the same sense of humor we do. I'm sorry you don't. And that was it. And I don't think that went over very well. But
it went over like a fart in church.
Well, you know, he left me alone after that. Didn't bring it up again to his credit, because the truth is it was an interesting article. And we had a dog that did that. Without getting too specific, I don't think you're supposed to flush those things, are you?
People wrap
them in the tissues or whatever. They put them in the trash. This dog, my goodness, he would, and the floor, you knew when it had happened. You go in the bathroom, and the floor is just littered with stuff where he had gone through there and pulled everything out and specifically picked those out to go play with them. So it's a story. It's a true thing. You know, it may not be everybody's cup of tea to want to hear about it, but I find things like that very interesting. So, thank you, Limey, for remembering to take care of our sponsors, because that, you know, is important.
So, Tim, were you still talking about pontoons or maxi buckets? What are you talking about?
Pontoons? No, Dan's always called them pontoons. Yeah, I don't. They do look like a little small pontoon.
No, I was just talking about a movie that I thought Frank would like.
Oh, I've heard of the movie Superbad. No, I've heard of it, and I've heard of that movie. I remember when it came out, and I feel like him sort of the way I feel about Seth Rogen.
Well, he's in it with him.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
He plays the cop.
He irritates me. Yeah. He just irritates me, Seth Rogen. That laugh. I can't get past it. So I guess we can just officially start the Burks. Oh, let me welcome everybody. Folks, welcome. Welcome to the large morning show in the afternoon on this, the 5th of March, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
All right, March, April, May. I was close.
June, yeah.
3 months off. Just a little over 3 months off. All right, I'll try to make a note of that. Remember, does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
This should be a good Thursday's good anyway. It's the start of our weekend. Sorry, folks, to rub it in, but it is. We get a 3-day weekend. And it's also Scott Sherman's day, the 4 o'clock hour. And that's one of the most educational hours you'll ever listen to. But for now, it's the Burke segment, and who spoke first? I think Dan.
I did. It was Dan.
Dan Strauss, everybody.
Saw Long Shot last night.
Did you see it, Tim? I saw it last night also. Let me tell people. I get this text from Dan last night. What was the name of that 40-minute documentary? I do not remember. It's been a long, long time since I got the number of emails from listeners or texts from friends who were listening. What was that movie? What was the name? Where is it again? And then I'm getting these emails also from people who see it, and the response is all the same. OMG. It's incredible. Tim, you did see it last night?
I watched it last night. I did.
And here's what I told Dan, agree or not. I thought it was fantastic that this thing proved a couple of things. One, it really does make you wonder how many people who didn't happen to just stumble on or be able to afford the right attorney, how many people are sitting in jail who didn't do anything, and they're sitting there thinking, I did not do this, and I'm in jail. And it makes you realize that it happens. And the other thing is, it is possible to tell a great story, a true story, in 40 minutes, not 8 episodes, not 3 hours. They did a great job in only 40 minutes. So before Dan finishes, Tim, 1 to 4 ARDs, what would you give this thing?
I'd give it 4.
I don't see how anybody couldn't give it 4.
I would, too. I would give it a 4.
So, Limey, have you seen it?
No, not yet. I guess I will tonight, though.
It's one of those... You just keep watching it thinking, what in the world?
I was trying to think of why they called it Long Shot, and I guess it's because the evidence that they uncovered and the way that they uncovered it is just what are the odds and what are the chances?
Yeah.
I think that's exactly why it's called that, because I think his getting cut loose like that was absolutely a long shot, because it was dependent on... To me, one thing, and that's that attorney. He for the rest of his life, he will be grateful for this. This attorney, and this is not an exaggerated statement, the attorney saved his life. Because that woman who, look, for people who don't know what we're talking about, you remember if it was a man or a woman who called us during Buffa's segment Tuesday?
I think it was a guy.
I think it was a guy, and he said, have you seen this long shot, 40-minute documentary? My first reaction was, well, I haven't seen any documentary. It's only 40 minutes. And then he said, you have to watch it. You're not going to believe it. Here, without spoiling anything, because it's easy to find on Google, a lot of people know that, but you still, even knowing what I'm about to tell you, will be blown away by this. It's a Hispanic guy in L.A. who is arrested and is going to trial for murder that he did not commit. His alibi is that he was at a Dodgers game. And he took, he wasn't by himself, he had his daughter, and who else did he have, Tim, did he have his
cousin
brother
and a friend.
Or a cousin or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was his daughter and a cousin. Now you gotta prove you're at the Dodgers game. You're also being prosecuted by a woman, what was her nickname, the sniper or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because she loved she loved the death sentence for murderers, so she was gonna have this guy killed. So you got her, she's relentless, you need to prove he's at the game, and what's interesting is that even though they showed her, here, we not only have the ticket stubs, we have video evidence of him, there he is at the game. She still said, well, you know, he could have left the game early, plenty of time to go commit this murder. The murder was at 10 whatever in the evening. And I thought, oh, man, wow. Now what?
Yeah,
now?
She was really gunning. She was really just gunning for him.
Yeah. Right?
And then I won't reveal the rest, but this attorney found one other thing to put out there as evidence that he couldn't have done it, and he was set free. He's got a daughter. He's got a seems to be a wonderful girlfriend, and this guy's life was about to be not only ruined but taken. Folks, it's an incredible story, and it's one of those examples of right time, right place, right attorney, and there are a thousand what-ifs. What if he'd never gotten in touch with that attorney? What if he'd been at the mercy of just assigned a defense attorney? What if? What if he hadn't gone to that game because he was supposed to go with his mom? She couldn't go. What if he hadn't been at that game? What if he'd been somewhere where it's next to impossible to prove he had an alibi? He'd be sitting in prison. It's worth it. And I'm getting emails from people, even though I ask, please don't email me and ask me the name, because everyone I have to respond to, it's just called... It's just long shot, right? Yeah. It's the long shot.
Without giving the plot line away, mm-hmm. the thing that off to the side stood out to me the most was the female judge that was overseeing his preliminary hearing.
Yes.
Took the tape of him testifying at the preliminary hearing to determine whether or not she found enough evidence to go to trial. She took the tape home and made her kids listen to it.
Yeah.
This guy's life is on the line. And this judge takes an audio tape home and says, kids, what do you think? You think he's telling the truth?
Well, I have a different take on that than you do. I have a different take. I think she wanted the reaction to somebody absolutely, completely separated from this case. Not, you know, yes, it was her kids. It could have been a neighbor. I just think she certainly wasn't going to make a decision based on what her kids thought. But my take on it was, she wanted to get somebody else's read on this guy as to whether or not, to them, he sounded innocent or guilty. That's all. I didn't make any more out of it than that. I kind of liked her, the fact that she took that extra time to digest all this. That was interesting, because that my take was different. But I could see the other way. I could see where you could look at it the other way. But, man, I wonder what happened to the career of the prosecutor, a woman who had never lost a murder trial, never.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, now that this is out, her face and name are out there, whoo, I would imagine she has stepped down by now just over the publicity from this documentary, because it did make her look like she was awfully eager to put somebody on death row, based on, by the way, an artist's sketch.
Right.
That's it. They had a witness. And, well, yeah, I don't have any photo. I do. And this was like, what, 2003 or something? Because you remember when they looked at the ballpark tapes, they were actually tapes, like videotapes.
Yeah.
So for her to go, you know, both barrels blazing over an artist rendering. Really? That's it? That's what you're going to put a guy to death over? And I saw the sketch. He looks like a thousand other Hispanic guys. That's not enough to, but it's fascinating. And if you'll be amazed at how much gets done in 40 minutes. You get the whole story.
Oh, it does. It goes, yeah, there's a lot of information in that 40 minutes.
Yeah. It was really good. So I'm sorry I don't remember the name of the caller, but thank you so much for calling that in Tuesday, because it was so intriguing to me. I watched it.
By the way,
I watched it that night.
She's still a homicide prosecutor in Los Angeles to this day.
Wow. Probably not for much longer.
How
long is the documentary behind?
One bad call, I guess, doesn't. You're not forced to step down from the bench because of that. Right. So good. We've all seen it, but Limey, you're next.
I'll watch it tonight, I guess.
And speaking of the year 2003, I was on Facebook the other day, and this came up on memories, which a thing will come up on memories. Bernice will be gone on Monday, March the 9th, 17 years.
That is just, wow. I can't even comprehend that.
Yeah.
I hate this part of my life.
I know.
In the sense that I don't like it that every day something happens and I go, what?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
She died.
Because it just reminds you how old you are.
Yeah.
That seems like about 4 years ago that we went down there.
Yeah, she died March 9th, 2003.
Wow. Man, it seems like she was with us longer than that.
I know.
Was there anything else?
That's all I had. I need to get our guest on the phone also.
Yeah, you said something to me, Dan, when I talked to you this morning. You told me a story. You said we were playing. What were we talking about? We were playing. What did that mean?
Oh, my band?
You have a band?
Yeah, Seventh Planet Band.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Never talked about it.
Yeah, we play out, playing this Saturday, actually. Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, we're out.
Talk about that.
Oh. Yeah,
anybody else? Burke segment?
Yeah, I got something.
All right. This would be Trevor Limestone, Limey Phillips. And by the way, Limey, I got some emails from people who were happy with you yesterday. Oh, I didn't send them to you because it wasn't that big a deal. But they also noticed you had a little bit of an edge yesterday. That's my job.
I was a little bit spicy yesterday, and I apologize. I was...
Well, I like that. Any man that can apologize.
I am sorry. I was in a bad mood.
We all noticed it, and that's why we just kept our distance. He could snap any minute. Stay away.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm in a much better mood today, and that is why I would like to wish everybody a happy Cinco de Marzo. All right, that's all
that so he could show us he knew how to say happy 5th of March.
But I said it right this time, though, didn't I?
You were 98% there. Say it again.
Marzo.
No, say the whole thing.
Cinco de Marzo.
No, Cinco de Marzo. Cinco de Marzo. You did get the tongue flip, though.
I did. I actually, instead of just making up a stupid Spanish-sounding word, I actually looked up how to say March in Spanish. So I was like, all right,
nailed it.
I'm going to do it.
You nailed it. Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was it for you?
Yep, that's all I got.
And now we turn to Tim. Anything?
I do. Quick one. Speaking of 2003, Dan, how ironic is it?
Hey, look who's here. Tim Woodburn.
Again, 2003, after I watched Long Shot last night, there's another series on Netflix. It's only 4 episodes long. It is fascinating. And it also occurred in 2003, and it is called Evil Genius. And it is the story.
Oh, I saw this.
Did you watch the series?
I watched it like last year, yeah.
Oh, it's fascinating.
Oh, that's good.
I was hoping you hadn't seen it because I was going to tease you so bad that you would, if you had not seen this, Frank, you would be watching it at 6:01 because this guy walked into, Limey and Dan, he walked into an Erie, Pennsylvania, he's a pizza delivery man, he walks into an Erie, Pennsylvania bank with a bomb around his neck and a demand note saying, give me the money or this bomb's going to go off. And then he's got all these like scavenger hunt notes on him, and you see the real footage shot by either the cops or the TV news crews on scene where this guy's kneeling or he's sitting cross-legged on the ground outside his car, handcuffed behind his back. And the bomb goes off, and they show the footage of his body after the bomb. I mean, they show it in live, real time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the first episode. And then at the end of the first episode, you realize that this psychotic woman might have been behind the whole thing. It's a binge watcher. 4 episodes.
And obviously, it's Evil Genius. Mm-hmm. And obviously, much too late, they realized, you know what, he wasn't bluffing. It really was a bomb.
Well, the FBI said, the FBI guy in the series, episode one, said it's the first time they had to decapitate this guy's body to get the bomb off his neck so that they could recreate it. And then he had to have a closed casket funeral.
Yeah, because wasn't it like a massive padlock or something?
Yeah.
I mean, it was some huge lock. So he couldn't get out of it. And then, you know, when it blew up, the lock was so powerful, it was still locked. And man.
And he walked into the bank with a cane, like he had to use a cane to walk, and it was a working active shotgun in the shape of a cane, and it was loaded and ready to fire.
Whoa.
No, this thing.
That's giving people some horrible ideas, but it sounds cool.
Yeah.
Evil this is like this is like something that if somebody wrote it and it was fiction, you'd go, "Ooh, that was brilliant." Well, it's not fiction; it really happened.
So,
the
reason I went to that is because I watched also something that I would give negative for ARDs, and in fact, it was so bad. I forced myself to go ahead and make it through the end of the first episode, even though I wanted to cut it off midway through. And Mike Evans loves this, and I can't believe it. It's so horrible. It's just
let me guess. It's just Peaky Blinders.
It is. It is.
Yeah, I tried to watch it too. I tried to watch it too.
You didn't like it?
I couldn't stand
it. It's horrible.
Why?
It's so boring and it's so slow and it's just
I agree.
It's just aggravating to watch.
I can see that. I can see
it. Like interesting, though, how somebody could say something like that. Oh, man, it's great.
Oh,
and
I love it.
I watch it. You watch it. And we go, this sucks. It's,
I loved it.
Give it up.
So good.
One episode, one and done.
Really?
Yep.
Dennis is on the phone. He's the one that called in Long Shot.
We owe Dennis a thank you, and we should also be kind of mad at him because he's eating up some of my personal time having to email people. Dennis, welcome back to 590. What a fantastic recommendation Long Shot was.
Wasn't it awesome? I just found it on accident.
I'd like to see more Netflix or Amazon Prime documentaries that are less than 1 hour, 1 hour or less, because they proved it can be done.
Well, that's why I watched it, because I was just flipping through and I'm like, I don't have much time, but I have 40 minutes. And so I put it on. And that's why when I told you guys about it, I'm like, it's only 40 minutes. You got time to watch this, and everybody should see it. So
now what it's going to do.
Talking about it. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. And here, thank you. And now when I watch any other documentary, I'm going to sit there going, you know, you could have done this in 40 minutes. We don't need, like this Ted Bundy stuff that goes on for 20 different segments or something. Just tell the
story. Making a murderer 10 hours.
Yeah, too long.
That's why American Greed is such a great show, or Forensic Files. You can knock them out in 20, if you fast forward through the commercials on TiVo, you can knock them out in 40 minutes or 20 minutes, either way.
And American Greed, you don't have to have seen the previous one. They're all separate, right?
They're also Forensic Files also. I mean, those are incredibly well-produced documentaries.
The other thing I don't like, and this did not have this Long Shot, I don't like reenactments in a documentary. I don't like they're showing you people that kind of look like the people involved, but they've reenacted. Yeah. I just don't like that. And they didn't need to do that with Long Shot. So, Dennis, thank you. I'm glad you called. Now we can put the name again to the person responsible. So, thank you.
Well, yeah, I'm the guy who called and thanked the lawyer. I can't think of his name because I'm nervous.
Scott Sherman.
I'm the guy who accidentally killed his mom, and he helped me through everything. So, you guys are just wonderful in my eyes.
More wonderful than we are the people that listen to us and keep us on the air. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Dennis.
Okay.
Right. Theme music, if you would, please. There's someone on hold.
Oh,
he doesn't
you
like to
be
on hold.
Oh, well, no, I suck as a person.
He doesn't like to be on hold.
Oh, he loves it.
He's going to make a big deal out of it. I was on hold. I own my building a lot. I don't have time to be on hold for 20, 30 minutes. That, of course, the impeccable, perfect impression of the man we're about to introduce. Ladies and gentlemen, John Landoff. Hello, John. How are you?
Hey, that doesn't sound anything like me.
Sound exactly like you.
No, it doesn't.
Now, did you get a chance, because I know every once in a while you and Mimi will pick up on something that we or the audience is watching. Did you hear us talking about Long Shot on Netflix?
No.
Okay, John, it's only 40 minutes. tell Mimi, you two, when you get 40 minutes, you sit down and watch this, and then you shoot me an email, and you tell me what you think. It is really something.
What is it again?
Long Shot.
Long Shot. Okay.
Right.
Got it.
You won't be sorry, and you will not have wasted your 40 minutes. I'll just tell you that. Netflix, by the way.
Got it.
I read, and this kind of is something I think. What?
What about the Bush family brood? It's on MTV tonight.
I just saw an article today about that.
Wait, is that the lie or the reality TV show? Or is that a documentary about them?
Billy Bush and his wife and their kids. Yeah.
Wow.
Here's the only reason.
Bush family brood.
Here's the only reason I won't watch it.
Why?
I know a little bit more about reality shows than most people, and I'm not bragging. I'm not in the business, but I had an experience with a reality show production, and I won't watch it because I know that shows like that are about 90% scripted, prepared. It's not spontaneous, so I'm just not interested because I know how those things work. I might give it a quick look just because it's local.
How do you know it's not spontaneous?
Well, if it is, it'll be the first reality show that's been spontaneous, so the chances of that are pretty slim. They're very scripted and a lot of pre-planning and laying out of exactly who's going to move where and say what and how they're going to say it and how they're going to look and when they're going to look this direction and that direction. Very little of it is spontaneous.
All right.
But I'll check it out because it's local, and I'd be curious. And I have to tell you something. I was real surprised when Krafting didn't make it. I was surprised because I thought if anybody should be able to have a beer succeed in this town, it's a Bush, a guy named Bush, and he should know how to brew beer. And I was surprised when that didn't make it.
Yeah. Well, it's probably not the easiest thing. I mean, but yet you see all these craft beers popping up all over the place, and then Anheuser-Busch is buying up a lot of those craft beers, and now, you know, they're into the seltzer water. This new ownership of Anheuser-Busch, they're growing. You know, I mean, they're just out there buying up the whole marketplace. But do you drink much beer, Frank?
I do not. I don't really care much for beer. I've never had three beers in a row. Twice, maybe, I had two beers back to back. But do you remember John Beale's beer, the American Patriot beer? Do you remember that?
I remember it, but I never drank any of it.
It was, and I'm not a beer drinker, but I tasted it, and I liked it. I had my mother-in-law. I got her a six-pack because she's a German and beer drinker, and she loved it. And it actually, to me, was very drinkable, good. There was a light, and then there was a regular. And I thought, okay, and I love the packaging, American Patriot. Everything about it, the packaging design was well. I thought, okay, this may have a shot.
I'm not a beer drinker either. It had kind of a sweet taste to it.
Which is what I liked, because I'm not an alcohol guy, and I don't like the taste of alcohol. And it masked that. It didn't have a bitter, and I thought, I think this could make it. And I don't know what happened, but I think my guess is that he got into it and kind of forgot how much money it was going to take to market it and continue to market. It's one thing to introduce it, but you got to keep hammering away at marketing, and it takes a lot of money to keep the word out. As John, you well know, you can't let up. You got to keep telling people who you are, what you are, where you are. And my guess is he just didn't see that expense coming. But the product seemed to be good. The product was good.
And Ari just was like, all right, you know, he doesn't really need to make a lot of money. I think he just wanted to do it, you know, for the Bush family. It was a good beer. I mean, I liked it a lot. Okay, but I don't drink much beer. You know,
you're a wine guy.
Well, in vodka, but I do drink beer, but usually just like on the weekends after a long run on a Saturday, come into work for a few hours and it's like, I'm going home. I am popping one or two beers. Sometimes on a Sunday, one or two, but not during the week. Not too often.
If I had to order a beer tonight, I'll tell you what it would be. It would be Miller Lite, because Miller Lite, to me, does not have a bite to it. It's a little sweeter, and it's just me. Maybe it's not to most people, but that would be
That would be the one I would order. I haven't ordered a beer in probably 3 or 4 months, but it needs to be very cold, almost ice chips, and that I've decided is the one if they serve it that I would order. And I,
you know, you
after
correct,
that I don't know.
You correct me all the time. I mean, maybe I have a lot of material for corrections, right? But I have to correct you. That is the worst beer in the entire world.
No, you're not correcting me because this is strictly objective. This is an opinion. Well, hold on. It's like liver. If you tell me that liver... Wait, no, hold on.
Bud Light versus Miller Lite.
No. If I say chicken livers are good and you say they're horrible, neither one of us is right or wrong. It's an opinion and it's about taste. So you're not correcting me, you're just disagreeing with me.
I've consumed 10,000 more beers in my life than you have. So I consume
myself. That's irrelevant. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
When I've had to consume much more beer, now you want to talk about a terrible beer when I went to school in Texas? Pearl. Huh? Pearl beer. I mean, it is just, I think it's the lower class of Lone Star beer. The Pearl beer is like the scraping of the vat. It's like, man, that's hard to drink. You can't make that cold enough to drink that stuff. It's terrible. But yet, Miller Lite's not far behind. Now, regular Miller back in the day, remember Miller Ponies? Everybody thought Miller Ponies were so cool. All right, and I'll admit, we're in high school, standing outside liquor stores, and you're like, hey, mister. He'd say, hey, mister, here's $6, whatever. Will you buy us a 12-pack of Miller Ponies? We were just fat cats thinking we were just drinking those little Miller Ponies. They'd fit right in your hand. You thought they were cool. Chicks thought you were cool when you were drinking it. We really weren't.
Let's go back. You didn't correct me. You just disagree. Your taste is different. I like anchovies. If somebody says, I can't stand anchovies, like, well, I have to correct you. They're good. No, they're not good to you. And
you said that,
it's my choice. It would be my choice if I had to order a beer tonight. I would order a Miller Lite.
It's got a sweet taste to it.
That's what I like.
Yeah. Ah, disgusting. It's just absolutely the worst. You know, we had one guy at our duck club years ago, and he used to try to bring that stuff into duck club. We're like, no, this is an Anheuser-Busch duck club. Don't drink Bud. If you don't drink Bud Light, Bud Select, get on out of here. And maybe we haven't seen him in a few years. I think he's still an owner even. But no, it's just, Busch beer. Now that's a beer. Mm-hmm. You talk about the mountains. You know, the old ballpark, the old Busch Stadium. They would serve it in cups. Right, they pour it right there at your seat, and then when you really thought you were cool, even when you're obviously 21, 22, 20, you would see how many cups you had stacked, under your seat. You had like 5 or 6, and you're drinking. You tell that guy, I just poured in that one. You'd stick it back in there. You're like, then you're like telling the world, I've had 6 of these today.
Yeah, right.
And it's the third inning. No.
Well, let's hope you're not driving home, and I know you don't. You have a driver, and I don't mind telling people that, and I admire that. I've been to dinner with you, and more often than not, you have someone else that you pay to come pick you and me up because you know you're going to drink wine. Everybody should do that. But correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know anything about beer. Isn't Busch, it's less expensive, so isn't it kind of thought of as the sort of blue-collar beer? It's not as pricey. Is that right? Is that correct?
It's not as expensive as Bud Light, and Bud Light is delicious. To me, I'm sorry, there's absolutely no comparison between Bud Light and Miller Lite. Bud Light is just 10
Bud
times
Light's the way to
more.
Go.
What's the most expensive beer that you can buy that's readily available? What would it be? Michelob or what?
Oh, are you talking about just within like the that family, or are you talking like just on
no,
the
no,
market?
No, I'm just in the market generally. What would be the most expensive
Mostly
beer?
Like
if you
IPAs
broke out a beer and you had somebody at your house, and they go, "Ooh, you have." Would it be what Löwenbräu, Heineken, Old Mick Ulter? What would it be?
And that's probably going to be some craft brewery type stuff. One of those crappy little
really?
IPA things. Yeah.
What's the Belgian beer?
Is that Hoegaarden? That's a delicious beer. It's heavy, but it's delicious. Oh, I know a lot about beer.
Oh, do you know a lot about beer? Yeah.
I do, and I all kinds of beer. It depends on like the setting. You know, are you on the river? Are you camping? Are you in Soulard? Are you out at a nice meal? Are you at a ball game?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, Frank, if you're talking about six pack.
The first time you went into a pub.
The first time I went into a pub, I was 16.
There you go. Because they're everywhere there. They're everywhere.
Yeah, me and my friends lied about our age. Got a big pint. It hit pretty hard then.
What was some of your favorite beer growing up?
Well, over in England, I'd say a nice pint of Boddington's. That's kind of like a bitter, if you will. It's just smooth. It's not really fizzy. Carling. That was another one that was really good. That's kind of like the English equivalent of Bud Light is Carling. Then, you know, Heineken, if you're at a party and somebody has it. And if you're feeling special, there's the Hoegaarden, which is delicious. It's like a white, it's a Belgian pale ale, I think, but it's got like a fruity aftertaste to it, and it's really good. But you can't drink too many of those because it's really, really filling. That's one of those where you kind of sitting down at dinner, have just maybe one, and then move on to something a little lighter.
So what about that? There's a beer, Smittick. They all call it Smittick.
Oh, Smittick's. Yeah, that... Not really my taste. That's along the lines of like Tetley and stuff like that. You got to have, in my mind at least, a particular taste for that. I like something a little more fizzy. You know, get that that carbonation. That's what I like. That's why I was never really a big fan of Guinness or many stouts or anything.
Those are the dark ones.
That's the, and now.
It doesn't even look right. That doesn't look like it should be beer.
Everybody thinks that Guinness is so fattening. It has the lowest calories.
Yeah.
Non-light beer. And it only has like 4.2% alcohol. So, but when you're over, we've been lucky enough in Ireland twice. The first time I drank Ireland, I'm like, oh.
Thank you. Irish lads, thank you.
So, what else is going on, Frank?
Oh, I don't know. Great article today. It's not the first article I've read about this, how people who are building new homes should give serious consideration to extending the length of the garage, because vehicles now are bigger, people love SUVs, and the garages of most builder homes and the plans are the same dimensions they've been for 50 years, and people are buying SUVs, and you can't even walk in front or behind it if the door is closed because it eats up the whole garage. And it is something absolutely to consider, because even if you don't have one now, you may want a Suburban down the road. And it'd be nice to have a little extra room in the garage so you can put other stuff in there and walk around it if you need to. And it's something a lot of people don't think about. But it was a great article. And I had read a similar one a year ago where they're already talking about. And there have been people who have bought vehicles and they get them home and they don't realize till after they purchased it they can't close the garage door. So something to think about. See, I'm thinking ahead for you for Suburban buyers. You may want a Suburban one day.
There you go, Frank. You know how, you know, you try to mimic me, but it's, you know, you do at the end of a statement, your voice drops.
Yeah, it does.
You try to sound like, you know, I don't know, you know, like, I don't know, kind of like you're sexy or something. You know?
What? What is wrong with you? I'm trying to sound sexy?
Yeah, you are.
No.
You know, it comes natural. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Try that while I'm talking to you. I might have tried it when I was 18, talking to some girl, but no point now. My day is over. That's not going to help me.
When is the trivia night for Window World?
May 16th.
All right. Good deal. That should be a lot of fun. All right. Well, hey, folks, we're open till 6:30, 7 o'clock some Thursday nights. Hardworking teammates of mine will be here until 8:30. So we are here. It's beautiful weather, unbelievable weather, and I think tomorrow's high is it going to be? Is it going to be 70 or something?
That's Sunday. I think Sunday's supposed to be 70.
So I'm waiting for it to pull up right now, and. It is going to be, no, tomorrow's high is 50.
Oh, wow, a little chilly. It's about
you were close, 20 degrees off.
Saturday is 57, 58, 59, and then Sunday, 66. So that's your, what would it be, a three-day forecast here, a four-day forecast? So is Scott coming on soon?
Yes.
He'll be in, and he'll be here. Well, he's here. He'll be on in just a few minutes,
I can't wait to tell him hello, and great guy, great segment.
Johnny and, says hi.
Yeah, Johnny says hi, Scott.
No, it's the
Scott
most
said hello.
It's the most entertaining, informative, and educational segment that I've ever heard on the radio.
How come he's so good at trivia compared to the rest of you?
Now, we don't know. We don't know that, but it irritates us, and we wish he would recuse himself, as they say, not participate.
I can tell you an insight.
Oh boy, he's on there.
About 3 hours before Bill Clevelin emails me every answer.
You know, in all seriousness, we should probably recruit Scott to our trivia team.
I've tried to do that, and he said
slam dunk.
What's it going to take, Scott?
Somebody to donate money to Window World.
So Scott,
we got something now.
We're on to something.
I was going to invite you to my table.
Hold on. Maybe we got a little bidding war going here.
Dueling banjos.
One of my two tables that we have.
I don't care how many tables you have. The one that has Scott Sherman is going to win the trivia night. So now you've just given me a great idea. We got a little bidding war opportunity. See how much money we could get from somebody to pay to have Scott sit at our table versus what John, you can't personally bid because that wouldn't be fair. You got to leave it up to listeners.
That's fair.
What?
The premise is I hate going to trivia nights, but I love the
we have fun.
Helping of autistic kids, and I'm for sale for that.
We have
fun. I agree. It's unbelievable. Oh,
we got a whole new revenue avenue now.
This is one of the, I love trivia nights. This night is unbelievable. I mean, just watching the Window World people, watching Jimmy Lomax Jr., John Gillette, Ken Webb, JB, and then their team. It's like they can't do enough for you. It's just a really, really, real, real well-run event. And
what was that again? Really well, what was that?
Really, well-run.
Making fun of me, huh? Yeah. You know, sometimes when you do that, I know that like your phone cap is.
It was like an old car starting. It was really well run.
Yeah, you didn't hear that joke when I said you probably have a ball cap on your head that's too tight.
I did hear it. I just chose to act like I didn't hear it.
Then leave the imprints around your head because you've had it on too long.
What's that phone number?
317-1800. That's 314-837-1800. Again, 314-837-1800. And you know what? The Autoplex.
Chicken butt, 5 cents a cut, dipped in grease. One apiece.
636-706-5700. Autoplex. 636-706-5700. 24/7, 366 at lawndop.com.
All right, John. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Between now and Monday, we're going to run a lot of people through that place buying cars. Be ready.
We're ready for them. We're having a great day today, and we can't wait to meet more of the AM and the PM crowd. You guys are the best. And, Frank, I'll probably be calling you, the next day or two.
All right. That would be fine with me. I'm happy. I'm good with that.
I think we got
John.
Bye-bye.
John. Thank you. Bye-bye. Sean Landoff. You know where the dealership is. North County, Washington, Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270. Before we break, at least a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, we didn't mention that Cy Sperling passed away without checking. Anybody here know that name?
I do not know who that
is. Yeah, Cy Sperling. Was he the coat factory guy? The coat?
Once again, trivia man Scott Sherman. Yes, Hair Club for Men. Which, by the way, now they've changed to Hair Club. Oh, you don't want to have something just for men. No. So now it's called the Hair Club. But we have a little more time another day. We'll talk a little bit about the whole Hair Club or toupee thing, because I've always found that to be a fascinating topic, especially how guys can wear some toupees, in fact, most toupees I see, and think that nobody knows you're wearing a toupee, when in fact it looks like a raccoon fell dead out of a tree and landed on your head, and there it sits. So
did you know
that's a topic for what?
Did you know the Chippendales are doing the same thing, and they're going to start letting women in? They're going to rename the gang, the group, the Chippin' Gang.
Chippin' Gang.
Come on.
Wrap it up.
March 5th, fools.
We are the Chunkin' Dales.
March 5th, fool. He's kidding. We have to break. News is next. Scott Sherman's in the house. He's an attorney. Real quickly, here are the phone numbers. Smart people will call now and won't mind holding a couple minutes. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
Tune in Monday night at 9 for the Brad Underwood Show.
590 KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Bud.